Now therefore, I, Gerald R. Ford, President of the United States, pursuant to the pardon power conferred upon me by Article 2, Section 2 of the Constitution, have granted, and by these presents do grant, a full, free, and absolute pardon unto Richard Nixon for all offenses against the United States which he, Richard Nixon, has committed or may have committed or taken part in during the period from July 20, 1969 through August 9, 1974.
This is Ozarks Lodge with me in the Anthony and Susan Hoy News Studios. Randy Dixon is with the David and Barbara Pryor Center for Arkansas Oral and Visual History. Welcome back.
Thank you, Kyle. Great to be here.
Just a couple of notes from past conversations. Listeners have reached out. I heard from a few people who said they had the same feeling about the bicentennial that we did.
Did you?
Yes, that it was like there was a lot of hype and then it didn't seem like there was much. They also were from small towns.
Well, and there was talk around the Pryor Center of folks that they felt the same way. And they weren't necessarily from small towns.
Okay.
You know?
Secondly, a few weeks ago we were talking about War Memorial Stadium. And I said, wasn't there a concert that was there
yes.
in the summer? A couple of people who went to that concert, it was called the Wild Hog Boogie.
And I was there.
Okay.
And it was hot.
Yes. And in fact, one person who was a teenager said, we just ended up being underneath shade, not paying it. We were just trying to survive that day.
Right.
Because it was the AstroTurf. It's a Wild Hog Boogie. So I love that people are reaching out when they hear about these memories.
That's I know. I love people are listening.
Igniting. Okay.
Okay.
And I did this before we identified the president we just heard.
Mm-hmm.
President Ford.
Right. Right. It was exactly 1 month after Nixon's resignation. That would have been that announcement would have been made on September 8th of 1974 when President Ford just gave a sweeping sort of blanket pardon for the former president.
Now, as a kid, I did watch that happen because I knew it was history. I didn't remember anything of what he said until I heard this cut. And this it was 5 years and a month worth of possible crimes.
Exactly.
He
gave him a lot of latitude.
I mean, if you're going to do a pardon, go big or go
– hey, why not?
Back to California, I suppose.
Which he did.
Yes. So we're going to hear how Arkansas and Arkansas elected officials reacted to this.
Yes. And keep in mind that then – almost every member of the Arkansas delegation was a Democrat.
Right.
And so, of course, KTV, Channel 7, dispatched Steve Barnes, now of Arkansas PBS, but he was a reporter, and went up to sort of poll the Arkansas delegation in D.C.
The delegation is reluctant to rate Gerald Ford as a president. To a man, they insist it is too early and that Ford has yet to establish any patterns in office. But near unanimity prevails on the subject of the presidential pardon of Richard Nixon. While opinions vary on the merits of a pardon at all, the delegation feels President Ford short-circuited the judicial process by extending executive clemency before any criminal charges were leveled. Senator McClellan calls the pardon a blunder. First District Congressman Bill Alexander was surprised at the timing of the pardon, but says he believed all along that executive clemency was a virtual certainty. There is agreement on a point perhaps more important, that Ford's sudden rise to the presidency has brought a new spirit of candor to this town and a new feeling of cooperation on Capitol Hill. This is Steve Barnes reporting in Washington for News Scene 7.
He also speaks to the powerful at the time, Wilbur Mills, and this is what, you know, he had to say. And he questioned, of course, like most did, the timing of the pardon.
What do you object to specifically?
I don't have any particular objection to a man exercising his judgment, but I do think that this was the wrong time for any such action to be taken by the president. It leaves the people in a quandary. What is it the president is guilty of for which the president is pardoning him? He hasn't been indicted. and it leaves everyone confused, I think, as to really what has taken place and gives rise to some doubt in their mind that perhaps some kind of a trade has been made. I'm not saying that a trade was made, but that is the reaction of many of the people that I've talked to since Sunday.
So it should be remembered that it wasn't wholly unexpected that Nixon was going to be pardoned. I mean, there was even discussion before he left office.
Right.
That there might be a pardon. But like you said, it happened so fast and it was so sweeping.
Well, and it made people wonder what exactly was this man guilty of. And it was argued that, well, we're never going to know now because he won't ever have to answer to anything. So we also talked to 4th District Congressman Ray Thornton, and he sort of echoed Mills' sentiments on the issue.
Well, it seems to me that there is a great concern by the people of our country and of this state that the rule of law must apply equally to everyone. Of course, this decision is vested by the Constitution and the President of the United States, and while I think it was premature and a mistake and too broad, I think that we should be very cautious in approaching the problem, not to compound this mistake with further mistakes. There are a number of things which might be considered, and I think we need to study it very carefully before taking any further action.
We're speaking about how Arkansas and Arkansas elected officials responded to the pardon of Richard Nixon back in 1974.
Yes, it was in September of 74.
Yeah, because he left. He got on that helicopter like August 8th or something.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
it was exactly 1 month later. So it came quickly.
Yes.
Quickly. And so we come back home, and Dale Bumpers was then governor. And, of course, KATV asked him about it. And, you know, his concern was, you know, it wasn't just Nixon. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of what were called henchmen who were caught up in this whole ordeal. And Bumpers question, well, what happens to them now?
Well, I certainly don't impugn the president's motives or his desire to get all the irritants that seem to be bothering this country aside so that he can get down to substantive issues like inflation and the conditions of the economy. I think his action was premature. I think it possibly raises more questions than it answers. For example, how do you try Haldeman and Ehrlichman now, for example? Or how about those who are already serving terms in prisons for having presumably carried out his orders? Or, you know, at least there's an indication. But now we may never know the answers to those questions. And, of course, I think it goes even beyond the people who were directly involved in the Watergate thing. I think it will extend down to the system of justice, right down to the petty thief in Little Rock, Arkansas, who can always question the judicial system in this country, which we've always prided ourselves. I don't think anybody ever thought our system of justice was pure and perfect, but certainly everybody recognized that we all had a responsibility to constantly try to hone it to the point that it was more perfect than it is now. We've talked a lot about equal justice before the law, and this certainly torpedoes that concept.
You know, when I hear that cut from Dale Bumpers, there's empathy there.
Yes.
It's not, to my ears, it's not, oh, do they get off now? It's, how does that family feel?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think there's a lot of space on either side of the political aisle right now for public empathy.
Oh, I don't think so.
And I think what you hear in the—
especially across, you know, party lines.
What you hear, the cuts we've already heard and the ones we're still going to hear, is some rational, calm, you may not agree with it, but a different era.
Well, and they didn't really disparage the president for doing it.
Right.
They questioned it, but they didn't hammer him for it. Again, David Pryor— who was at this point a former congressman and was running for governor or a candidate for governor. And so KATV spoke to him about it, and he agreed with, well, what about these other people?
Mm-hmm. I think the first thing I thought of was the families of John Dean and John Ehrlichman and H.R. Haldeman, and whether or not they would get equal treatment. Exactly what was going through their minds. It also brought to my attention, as I think it did every American, the basic concept of equal justice under the law, and whether or not Mr. Ford is going to practice that concept or whether he's going to treat President Nixon as he would treat any other citizen in this country. The alarming thing, I think, is whether or not Mr. Nixon is involved criminally. We do not know this, and perhaps now, because of the pardon, we will never know it. And I think this is one of the real dangers of such a premature action on President Ford's part.
And, of course, as we know from history, Ehrlichman, Haldeman, Dean, Mitchell—
They did not get equal treatment.
No.
Oh, no, they all did time.
Yeah.
Most of them more than a year.
G. Gordon Liddy, all of them.
Yeah, they all did. Yeah, they were all convicted, all did prison terms. And here's another interesting one I found.
I love this.
And he was very good. He was very sympathetic.
Mm-hmm.
A young University of Arkansas law professor who was a candidate for 3rd District Congressman, guess who?
Bill Clinton.
Yes, this is what he had to say.
I think it was a mistake. I think it'll have a devastating impact on the families of those people who acted for Mr. Nixon and with his knowledge and consent who are about to go to jail or are in jail already. It'll weaken all the people's faith in the fair operation of our legal system. It's just going to have a bad impact. I'm not so anxious to see him in prison, but I do think that Mr. Jaworski and the grand jury should have been left free to do their duty before President Ford interrupted.
You recommended the possibility of the Senate coming back and asking Mr. Ford to reconsider. How would he do that?
Well, I think he might more clearly define what he means. He might allow the grand jury, or at least to make a determination as to what things they think were done wrong, and then allow Mr. Nixon to make some response to those charges. And still there could be a pardon from all punishment, but at least then the people would feel that there'd been some accountability, that he'd been treated like other people, as Mr. Agnew was treated, for example, to have to be accountable for what had been done.
There is no way anyone other than perhaps Bill Clinton himself thought, someday I'm going to be a person in the Oval Office. This is a young guy, 20s, right?
Oh, easy, yeah.
Trying to unseat John Paul Hammerschmidt. Spoiler alert, it didn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he was an up-and-comer, but there's no way you thought you were hearing a future president talk about him.
Not at that point, no. Not even close.
That's why these archives are so fun.
Yes, to go back and see. Now, that is one person we did not hear from. I could not find anything in the archives from the lone Republican in the delegation, John Paul Hammerschmidt.
Yeah, and as I was going through these, I was like, boy, I wish we could have heard from John Paul Hammerschmidt.
Yeah, and I don't know whether it was he wasn't available or didn't want to speak, or KATV, you know, there was some scheduling. I don't know what happened,
well,
but he's not in there.
Yeah, and you got to remember that at this point, well, is Gerald Ford going to run for re-election? I mean, we were probably sure. And there was this governor in California. Ronald Reagan was, you know, making noise. So I think there's I would understand if politically John Paul Hammerschmidt, as the lone Republican,
might not want to say anything.
Just wouldn't have a schedule that would avail yourself to talk about a disgraced Republican president and a current president who did something that wasn't at the moment very popular.
Right, right. I did, though, find one Republican.
Yes, you did.
And a very interesting one. You've heard of him, whether you like politics or like
Law and
crime
Order.
dramas.
Right.
Yeah. We're talking about Fred Thompson, who, let's go back to 1974. He was a young attorney who was counsel to the Republican senators on the Watergate Committee. He advised them and, you know, later became a Republican senator from Tennessee. And if you're a Law and Order fan, he was Arthur Branch.
Right.
He was the head district attorney in the original Law and Order series. And you can tell his voice, you can hear, if you're a fan of that show, you can hear it. But he was in Arkansas campaigning for Judy Petty, who was running for Congress.
Wow, there's a name.
Right.
Yeah.
So here he is standing up with Judy Petty banners behind him, and he's asked about his thoughts on the pardon.
You know, I had preferred myself that if there were going to be a consideration for pardon, that it would be done after charges were lodged. I, as an individual, I guess maybe after spending a year and a half, wanted to know a bit more about it, if there is anything else to know. I'd like the charges to be a little bit more crystallized before that, and I express myself on that. But I think we ought to think about some of the president's considerations, some perhaps that we don't even know about at this time, as we look at this. They say unequal treatment. The people are not being given equal treatment, that one man is being placed above the law, and all the other cliches that have been so widely used over the last year and a half, and especially in recent days. Is it unequal treatment? Of course it is. The power to pardon in and of itself is unequal.
Which do you think would have been harder to believe in 1974? That this young law professor running for Congress out of Fayetteville was going to be president, or this Republican attorney was later going to be on Law and Order? Which would be harder to believe?
I think you could have flipped a coin.
I think you're right. This last cut.
This is great.
Yes. I'm just going to let you set this up because—
Well, you know, another person, one of the first, I guess, that was swept up in all this and went to prison eventually— was Attorney General John Mitchell.
Mm-hmm.
Well, his connection to Arkansas is that his wife, Martha, was from Pine Bluff.
Right.
And she was as much a headline maker as he was.
She was an extrovert?
Yes.
She was opinionated?
Yes.
Unfiltered?
Yes.
And Johnny Carson loved her? Rowan and Martin on Laugh-In loved her?
And the national press adored her.
Art Buchwald?
Oh, she'd get on the phone at night.
Yeah.
And I'd have to say she had a couple of cocktails, and she would get on. She had a regular group of national reporters that she would call and say, this is what I overheard my husband saying on the phone.
Do you think there was some kind of deal worked out in advance of the resignation?
I do indeed. I'm certain Mr. Ford wouldn't be in the White House. And I don't care if Jerry ever speaks to me again. But I'm sure that there was a deal worked out with Mr. Nixon before he left.
What would you recommend in this case? Did you want Mr. Nixon to be convicted or tried?
I hadn't come to a conclusion on that. I was waiting for public opinion to come around to a polarization. I don't know what the American people would like in a situation like this, but it's not fair for him to be given amnesty and the other people serve jail terms.
My favorite part of that, Jerry.
Jerry.
I mean, because she would have met him when he was in Congress.
Mm-hmm.
And by all accounts, he was kind of a nice guy. But she just
knew him by Jerry.
Oh, I'm convinced that Jerry had a deal. Yeah. Well, probably did.
Yeah, there was a fix in.
Yeah.
Yeah, she didn't mince words.
Right. It's hard, Randy Dixon, for me to listen to this and not compare it to last January and mm-hmm. what's happened since January. And
there are a lot of similarities.
The different level of discourse, the different just tone and tenor of people we heard. And yeah, we heard mostly from Democrats because that's what Arkansas was.
But their tone, though, was—
Including Fred Thompson.
Yes.
Introspective, thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's just hard not to make the comparison 50 years and where we are now.
Right.
All right.
It was a lot more civil.
At least on the surface.
Yes.
I mean, there have been improvements in other ways.
Sure.
We only heard from white men, except for Martha Mitchell.
Right.
Right? I mean, you couldn't get elected in the South if you were not a white man.
That's true.
So, anyway, it's just interesting, and I'm sure for a lot of people there have been those comparisons in the last few minutes that we've been listening. Now, we didn't hear from John Paul Hammerschmidt.
We did not, so I think we ought to make do for, a famous politician in his own right, especially in this part of the state.
Yeah.
The things he did for Northwest Arkansas and especially for the Buffalo River.
Right. And what'll be interesting is because, you know, the 3rd District now is a lot smaller geographically than
right.
it used to be.
Right.
I mean, so he was representing.
Well, and also, he passed away several years ago, but before he did, the Pryor Center sat down with him and did an extensive 6 to 8 hour interview with him. So I'll be using some of that too.
How can people find out more about the Pryor Center?
Google Pryor Center, P-R-Y-O-R, and it will come up. And if you want to go to the Arkansas Memories section, you can see more current interviews with Arkansans, or go to KATV section and you can search. Or if you want to go to the events section, you can go to Kyle and Randy's section that's now up, and you can hit episodes and you can stream every one of our 65 programs we've done.
Why, when you do all the heavy lifting, do I get top billing on that? That doesn't seem to make sense.
Because you're the star.
Alphabetical. That's what it was. Randy, thank you.
Thank you.